This is Worldviews. I'm Suzette Grelot. Rebecca Cruz, since you and Paul Good focused on Ukraine a couple of weeks ago, we've seen a significant change in the country. The president fled. Russian troops then pretty much immediately showed up in Crimea. We've had, most recently this week, the Crimean parliament voting to secede and become part of Russia, which will require a referendum on secession. The United States has responded. The European Union responded. Everybody's trying to get everybody on the same page here. It's clearly escalating and, I don't know, spiraling out of control in some ways. But are we headed to another cold or hot war?
I hope neither, to be honest with you. I think that there are a lot in the media that are trying to portray this as a Cold War, and there certainly are facets of that, the Russians, the United States, Ukraine stuck in the middle. And perhaps some of this Cold War rhetoric came about during the Olympics, as we saw a lot of references back to the 1980s Miracle on Ice, and even a couple of news channels were reporting that the Soviet Union, as opposed to Russia, 20 years after the end of the Cold War. So this kind of discourse has certainly been in the air, and we certainly have seen some very strange activity by the Russians. Didn't expect to see troops on the ground, but they are there.
Well, certainly back in November sometime, we were talking on this program when those protests started up about how this was reminiscent of kind of East versus West. And we start to see some of that. NATO starting to move. They're engaging in exercises in Poland and the Baltic countries of Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia. And the United States actually getting behind Ukraine on this, $1 billion of loan guarantees. Now, to Ukraine, it's the one thing that's actually brought our House of Representatives together, a really significant bipartisan vote in support of Ukraine. So it would indicate perhaps that the United States is saying, now, wait a minute, Russia, hands off of this new fledgling government.
Absolutely. I think that is the message that they're trying to send. And of course, it was the economic troubles that kind of started this at the beginning. There was some serious unemployment issues, other economic issues. Many in Ukraine were trying to look towards the European Union. Russia was offering a bailout. So the economic concerns remain, and it looks like the United States is going to help out.
Well, it doesn't seem to be coming to an end anytime soon. But it certainly isn't the only place in the world where we see protest and violence and attempts to try and ouster governments. Let's look at Thailand. Nobody's really talking about Thailand, but we've had protests going on in Thailand for many months and recent escalation and violence there to remove the prime minister and her government. It's a very interesting story of kind of regional and class division in Thailand. The north and the northeast are primarily the rural parts of Thailand versus the more urban south where Bangkok is. There are serious clashes here. People accusing this prime minister of being a puppet for her brother, who was the former prime minister who was ousted and exiled and is a billionaire. I mean, this all seems really kind of sketchy, but nonetheless, violence and protests and attempts to try and remove another government by force.
Yeah, in some ways, it does feel a little bit like a soap opera that the relations that are going on here, as you mentioned, the brother was ousted in a coup some years back, and now the sister, this started when she put forward an amnesty bill that would allow him to come back. So that's how it started. Some of that was taken away, but once these protests start, as we saw in Ukraine, the thing that actually starts the protest isn't always what continues them moving forward. So a lot of new allegations against her government. And in fact, the protests have scaled back somewhat. They have now moved to one area of the city, a square in the city. And it's kind of humorous here, too, because the opposition in the square, they have a very lovely tent city that they've built up. There's tea stalls, there's TV, all sorts of amenities, showers even. So they're protesting, but they're protesting in style. But what's interesting here is that it looks like the protests may not actually lead to an ouster of government, but the courts may take over and may be able to bring the prime minister to what many would consider justice. There's a number of corruption charges against her, and she will have to go and face the court system. So that could be a significant change.
Well, it clearly seems like both sides are digging in their heels. There was an attempt to call for early elections, and that failed because nobody could trust each other that the elections were going to be fair. So far, the royal family in Thailand and the military have kind of stayed out of this, interestingly. So this is a political battle that's going on. But yet, let's go to another region very quickly and end here with Venezuela. We also see this going on in Venezuela, more and more violence going on there at the anniversary of Hugo Chavez's passing away.
Yes, we just marked the year-long anniversary. Lots of internal conflict going on there. Violence, it looks like violence on both sides. The government is responsible. The protesters are responsible. On the one hand, we have the opposition to Maduro, the current leader who took over from Chavez, saying that these are the opposition is saying that these are motorcycle gangs and other people causing the violence. And Maduro is saying that these are fascists. So a lot of internal struggling. We are in the West getting a lot of pictures of people in the streets and the violence. There are still a lot of pro-government people in Venezuela. So it's not nearly as clean cut as perhaps it's being presented.
Well, clearly enough unrest to go around. I'm afraid something we'll continue to watch and report about. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for your analysis.
Thank you.